Inspire FM presents Eyes on Israel with your host, the New Brunswick representative for the International Christian Embassy, Jerusalem, Canada team. Your Christian embassy established in Jerusalem since 1980. Suzanne Trites.
Hello, this is Dr. Terry Branscombe, CEO of Inspire FM. It's my privilege and honor today to fill in for Suzanne Trites, who is recuperating from a congested cold she picked up during our recent trip to the land of Israel. Stephen Mueller, Suzanne's usual co-host of Eyes on Israel, thank you for joining me today.
Glad to be here, Terry. As Suzanne does weekly, can you tell the listeners about this past week?
Yes. This past week? Wow. It was an honor to be in the land among Israelis in such a critical time. And to experience what they are going through and showing our support and encouragement was such an honor. This was a big week indeed. Although the focus has very much been on the southern border this week, there was an incident where the IDF struck and dismantled a Hezbollah terrorist infrastructure in the area of southern Lebanon. The presence of the machinery and Hezbollah activity in the area constitutes a violation of the understandings between Israel and Lebanon. Suzanne and I were there just 200 feet from the Lebanon border with a group of delegates from the ICEJ Feast of Tabernacles, so we see how dangerous it is to have Hezbollah breach any agreement with Israel. Communities are very much at risk in the north being in such close proximity.
Wow, that really puts things into perspective. So what is the big news out of Israel this week?
The big news? A ceasefire agreement, peace plan, was signed by Israel and Hamas just days shy of the two-year mark of that tragic day of October 7th, 2023. This is the two-year mark on the Hebraic calendar. After Israel and Hamas signed the deal, but before the ceasefire was put in place, a Hamas sniper killed IDF soldier, Sergeant First Class Michael Mordecai Nachmani, 26 years old. And tragically, another soldier, Shmuel Rahamim, passed away after being severely injured in an IDF grenade explosion on October 7th, 6 days from the ceasefire agreement. We bow our heads in respect for these two heroes who were killed defending the Jewish homeland against Hamas. The IDF set in motion the operation that freed the kidnapped hostages and called it Shavim LaGuvalam, returned to the border. Based on Jeremiah 31:16, which says, "Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded," declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy.
The people of Israel must have been rejoicing over this long-awaited news.
Rejoicing is putting it mildly, Stephen. 20 living hostages were all returned this week on Monday, October 13th. The commanders and soldiers of the IDF saluted and embraced them as they made their way home to the State of Israel, where they underwent an initial medical assessment. Suzanne and I and many others were privileged to be in the Hostages Square in Tel Aviv on Monday to rejoice and celebrate with Israelis. Every time a hostage was transported by army helicopter to one of the three hospitals in Tel Aviv for full physical and mental assessment, they intentionally flew over the crowd in the square. The name of the hostage was announced loudly over the speakers, and telling the hostages, "Welcome home," everyone cheered. They likely heard us up in the helicopter. It was historic. It was powerful. We will never forget this moment. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his wife Sarah went to the Beilinson Hospital and met with several returned hostages. He said to the returnees, quote, "We are all thrilled to see you here. The people of Israel waited for you. Your wonderful families did not give up for a moment, and neither did we. The mission is not yet complete. We're committed to bringing back the fallen as well, and we will not give up on anyone," unquote. The Prime Minister's wife, Sarah Netanyahu, said, quote, "How good it is to see you. This is an unparalleled emotional moment. We prayed, hoped, and acted so that you would be here again with your families. The Prime Minister and I never stop thinking about you. I wish you robust health. You are heroes," unquote. Israel's President Herzog left a handwritten note on each hospital bed which read, quote, "How good that you've come home," unquote.
I can imagine it was a historical moment. So Terry, were the deceased hostages returned as well?
According to the ceasefire agreement, Hamas was obligated to return the bodies of the fallen soldiers within days. They only returned a few in the first few days. The hostages' families' headquarters said this is a blatant violation of the agreement and expect the government of Israel and the mediators to act immediately to correct this terrible injustice. Coffins of deceased hostages, escorted by IDF and ISA forces, were transferred to the National Center for Forensic Medicine for identification purposes. Before crossing into Israeli territory, a military protocol was held in the Gaza Strip in their memory. During the protocol, IDF soldiers draped the hostages' coffins with Israeli flags, saluted them, and recited a chapter from the Book of Psalms. What an honorable reception back into their homeland. Of those few bodies returned was the last female hostage in Hamas captivity. Inbar Hyman was murdered and her body kidnapped from the Nova Festival. There are 19 fallen hostages remaining in Gaza. Six security forces, such as soldiers and police counter-terrorism units, 10 civilians, and 3 foreign workers from Thailand and Tanzania. In order to receive the 20 living hostages and 28 deceased, Israel had agreed to release 250 terrorists who are currently serving life sentences after committing horrific terror attacks murdering Jews, as well as the release of 1,700 Arabs who've been detained by the military and operations in Gaza over the course of the war, along with 360 bodies of terrorists. These being released are collectively responsible for the murders of thousands of Israelis, some personally carrying out killings while others planned and directed from behind the scenes. The families of terror victims will be notified that their loved ones' killers will be released in this exchange. This is a trauma those families will need to process.
Such a bittersweet moment. Is there anything else to share, and how should the people pray this week?
With a signed deal, thousands of reserve soldiers are also set to be released to return home to their family, work, businesses, etc. What a blessing. As part of the agreement, some IDF withdrew from Gaza, while others remained at positions alongside the deployment lines, remaining in control of just over half of the Strip's territory, or 53%, most of which is outside of urban areas. A tragic reality of the trauma over the past 2 years that some could not overcome. An example, Roy Shalev survived October 7th, but lost his girlfriend that day. Days later, his mother took her own life. This week, with the 2-year anniversary and the return of the hostages, Roy too couldn't bear the pain and took his own life. The pain of October 7th didn't end when the rocket stopped. So many survivors and their families are dealing with PTSD. They need our prayers. To mark the Hebrew anniversary of October 7th, 2023 tragedy, the IDF's General Staff Forum held a short ceremony and a moment of silence at the Nahal Oz base, which was overrun by terrorists during the horrific Hamas attack. Also remembered on this National Day of Remembrance 2 years since the massacre are Kafir and Ariel Bibas, who were brutally kidnapped together with their mother and all three savagely murdered in captivity. The national flag has been lowered to half-mast throughout the land. In closing, IDF Minister Israel Katz declared this, quote, "Israel's major challenge after the stage of returning the hostages will be the destruction of all Hamas terror tunnels in Gaza, directed by the IDF and through the international mechanism to be established under the leadership and supervision of the U.S. This is the main meaning of implementing the principle agreed upon of demilitarizing Gaza and neutralizing Hamas from its weapons. I have instructed the IDF to prepare to carry out the mission," unquote. With that, I recommend the following strategic prayer points. Give God a moment of thanksgiving for the return of loved ones. Pray for the steps going forward on the peace plan agreement for the people of Israel and Gaza. With anti-Semitism on the rise, Canadians here at Atlantic Canada to rise and be active in showing support for Israel and our Jewish citizens. Comfort for those in mourning and PTSD. Declare Jeremiah 31:16 over Israel as the captives returned home. Finally, please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As Suzanne reminds us every week, according to Deuteronomy 11:12, the eyes of the Lord are always upon Israel. Since God's eyes are on Israel, our eyes must be equally on Israel.
Thank you, Terry, for stepping in for Suzanne this week and for these important prayer points.
My pleasure, Stephen. To our audience, Suzanne and I say thank you so much for your prayers and shalom Peace be with you. Until next time.
This has been Eyes on Israel on Inspire FM with Suzanne Trites. To contact Suzanne, email suzanne@inspire.fm. And for more information on the ICEJ, visit the website at icej.ca.